You're listening to WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. And we return now to our series 1968, 50 years later. And since it's summer blockbuster season, we thought we'd take a look back at the movies that came out 50 years ago this summer, starting with The Odd Couple. It starred Hollywood legends Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon. And it's one of several iconic New York City movies from 1968. Joining us now, Alyssa Wilkinson, who is film critic for Vox. Alyssa, hello.
Hello.
The Odd Couple is billed as a comedy, but it starts with a suicide. So how does that work?
Well, it's pretty crazy to start a comedy with a suicide attempt. But if you think about it, the darkness of that means that it can only get lighter. The humor is derived from the fact that these are two men, straight men, who are getting into these conversations with each other that usually would just be bickering between a husband and wife.
Now, kindly remove that spaghetti from my poker table. The hell is so funny?
It's not spaghetti, it's linguine.
Now it's garbage.
So there they are, as you say, two men living together, straight men, but men living together nonetheless in 1968. So there are some embedded social commentaries, right?
Yeah, very much. I mean, the whole first act of the film is basically a poker game in which a bunch of guys are griping about their wives. And yet the joke of the film really is that obviously the women who we never see have everything together and these guys are kind of hopeless without them. Huh. And they know this.
1968 was a really pivotal year in American history. Was it a pivotal year in Hollywood?
Very much. Yeah, lots of things happened in Hollywood that year. The Cannes Film Festival was shut down by protesters. The MPAA introduced their rating system that year. It's also a year where we saw a lot of women starting to direct, and we also saw a lot more movies in the mainstream made for a mainstream audience that are about women and women's stories. And so those things all came together to contribute to how Hollywood was making movies. And then they're doing this in the midst of a very turbulent, changing world.
Here's another pivotal movie with a lot of staying power, The Producers. One of the real-life producers of The Producers said, quote, "This is getting back at Hitler. You can't bring dictators down on a soapbox with rhetoric, but if you can make people laugh at them, you've won." So, Alyssa, did Mel Brooks succeed at making people laugh at dictators?
So it's 23 years after the end of World War II.
Right.
There's a lot of questions about when is it too soon to laugh at something like that. And I think he gets away with it because it's a movie about how people who watch entertainment sometimes get it wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe they get it right in ways that the creators of the entertainment didn't intend. So the whole concept of The Producers is that these guys are trying to embezzle money by getting investors to invest in a show that they know will flop and then they can keep the money. And the show doesn't flop. It's comedy. And that's a point where we say, oh, you're trying to say that this subject is beyond the pale. We can't touch it, but actually we're all ready to laugh at it. We're all ready to make light of it.
In 1968, another movie about Broadway dropped, Funny Girl.
Get ready for me, love, cause I'm a comer. I simply gotta march my heart to drum. I know, body, no, nobody is coming. Rain and metal.
I never get tired of hearing her sing. That's Fanny Brice, played, of course, by Barbara Streisand. That is her Hollywood debut. Is Funny Girl underappreciated?
You know, people have generally tended to consider women's stories to be niche audiences that are kind of light and fluffy, but not like the real important stuff of life. But Funny Girl is anything but that. You know, it's a story about a young woman making her own way in the world. And Barbara Streisand, it is her debut. She's 26. She doesn't look like any movie star at the time, and she sparkles on screen.
I've had a lot of Jewish women of a certain age tell me they saw that film, and for the first time, they felt they were seeing themselves on screen.
Yeah, there's a lot in that film that has to do with issues of representation, which is something we're still talking about today. Do people of color see themselves on screen? Do women see themselves in certain roles on screen? And Funny Girl is kind of way ahead of its time in what it's doing.
Let's finish in another very familiar New York City location, the Dakota apartment building on the Upper West Side.
Rosemary, go back to bed. You know you're not supposed to be up and around.
Is the mother?
Rosemary.
Shut up.
That is, of course, Rosemary of Rosemary's Baby. And in that scene, Mia Farrow visits the nursery after giving birth.
What have you done to it? What have you done to its eyes?
He has his father's eyes.
It's a horror film, Alyssa, but it really is so much more. How did Rosemary's Baby reflect the tensions of 1968, if it did in your view?
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about watching Rosemary's Baby, especially as a woman, is that it really captures well the feeling of living in a society where you as a young woman are being told how to feel by different people, but not really having any agency over your own body. So her husband tells her how she feels, right? These neighbors across the way, which are, they're very creepy, and they keep giving her these weird smelling shakes to drink. She goes to the doctor. He's telling her that it's all in her head. Right. And so she feels kind of crazy. But in 1968, this is really about a woman's autonomy over her own body.
Ironically, for what many see as a feminist film, the director, Roman Polanski, has been evading a rape conviction for decades. But Rosemary's Baby really is a classic. And, you know, the filmmaker Jordan Peele, African-American, has said that Rosemary's Baby inspired his 2017 Oscar winner, Get Out.
Do they know I'm black?
Here's an early scene in which a young white woman, Rose, lures her boyfriend, Chris, to her parents' place in Connecticut for the weekend.
Should they?
It seems like something you might wanna, you know, mention.
Mom and Dad, my black boyfriend will be coming up this weekend, and I just don't want you to be shocked that he's a black man.
So, Alyssa Wilkinson, can you draw that 50-year trajectory?
Yeah, definitely. They are both horror films, but really what's going on here is, in Rosemary's Baby, it's about a body that is desired for its reproductive capabilities, right? A woman's body. In Get Out, Chris, our protagonist, his body is desired and talked about as an object for its athletic abilities, basically. That's what people keep talking about the whole time. All these white people want to be like Chris because of what he can do with his body.
What do you think about the use of the horror genre as social commentary?
Horror is perfect for social commentary. And the reason is that so much social commentary sticks to numbers and analysis and kind of the crowd, and they're not very specific. But when you get to horror, the whole goal of horror is to make your body react. You're supposed to jump and scream and laugh and all of these different things. And so they actually managed to put an emotion on the face of social commentary.
No better place to end it. You can read Alyssa Wilkinson's columns at Vox and follow her on Twitter at Alyssa Marie. Alyssa Wilkinson, thanks so much.
Thank you.